إن الحمد لله
Surely all
نحمده
praises to Allah, we
ونستعينه
praise Him, we
ونستغفره
rely on Him, we
ونعوذ
ask His
بالله من
forgiveness,
شرور
we seek
أنفسنا
refuge in Him
ومن
from
سيئات
evils of ourselves
أعمالنا
and the evils of our
من
deeds.
يهده
He
الله
whom
فلا
Allah
مضل
guides, no
له
one will
ومن
lead astray,
يضلل
and He whom
فلا هادي
He
له
leads astray, no one will
وأشهد
guide.
أن لا
I bear
إله
witness that
إلا
there is no
الله
God but Allah,
وحده
alone
لا
without
شريك له
companions.
وأشهد
I bear
أن
witness that
محمدا
Muhammad is His
عبده
servant and
ورسوله
messenger.
صلى الله عليه
وصلى الله
وعلى
على آله
آله
وصحبه وسلم.
وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فقد وصلنا في شرح كتاب القواعد المثلى
Elaborating on the book of
في
Qawaid
صفات
al-Muthla
الله وأسمائه
regarding Allah subhanahu wa
وأسماء
ta'ala's
الشيخ
names and
العثيمين
attributes by Shaykh
رحمه الله
al-Uthaymeen,
تعالى إلى
we
الحديث عن
reached
بعض
to the
الشبهات
discussion
التي
of some of the
يثيرها
arguments of the people of Bid'ah,
المخالفون لطريقة السلف الصالح
or
المغضوب
those who
عليهم
deviate from the way of the
صفات
pious
الله
predecessors
سبحانه
and the
وتعالى
companions of the Prophet
فيقولون إن
And they
السلف
say
قد
that
أولوا
the pious predecessors
بعض
themselves have done some
آيات
ta'wil
الصفات
when it
وبعض
comes to some of
الأحاديث
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes.
أولوها يعني صرفوها عن المعنى الظاهر الذي يتبادر
And they
إليه
say they've done
وفسروها
ta'wil, which
بمعاني
it
أخرى
means that
بعد
they have deviated from the face value
وقد
of the meaning
ذكر المؤلف
and
نماذج
chose
لذلك
other meanings. The author is
وصلنا إلى
mentioning some
المثال
examples, and we've
السابع
reached
والثامن
the seventh and the
قال
eighth
قوله
examples.
تعالى ونحن أقرب
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
إليه من
says,
حبل
and
الوريد
we are closer to
وقوله
him, or to
ونحن
the human
أقرب
being,
إليه
from
منكم
from his
وهذا حيث
carotid artery
فسر
or
القرب فيهما
carotid vein.
بقرب الملائكة هنا يعني الشبهة أنهم قالوا إن السلف الصالح فسروا قوله تعالى ونحن
Now
أقرب
Salaf,
إليه من
the
حبل
pious
الوريد
predecessors
قالوا وملائكة يعني معنى
explained
الآية
this verse
وملائكة
as
الله
the
أقرب
angels
إليه
of
من
Allah
حبل
subhanahu wa
الوريد
ta'ala
هنا نحن
are closer
والمقصود بها يعني ملائكتنا
to the
وقوله تعالى
human than
ونحن
the
أقرب
carotid
إليه
vein.
منكم قالوا
So it's,
يعني
they
وملائكة
say,
الله
the pious
أقرب إليه
predecessors
منكم
say it's not really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally it's
وقالوا
his
هذا
angels.
تأويل أنتم
Now
الآن
the people of Bid'ah said
لم
that this is
تفسروها
ta'wil.
بقرب الله سبحانه وتعالى بذاته
How do you
وإنما
say,
قلتم
how
قرب
do you deviate from the
ملائكته
face value?
قال والجواب أن
The answer
تفسير
to that,
القرب فيهما بقرب الملائكة ليس صرفا للكلام عن ظاهره
when we say
لمن
that it's
تدبره
that the nearness is the nearness of the angels,
يقول هذا ليس صرفا
this is
للكلام
not
عن
really
ظاهره لمن
deviating
تدبره يعني القرب هنا نظرت
a
إلى سياق
deviation of the
الآيات
meaning if you
علمت أن
really
الآيات
if you look at the verse closely.
الكريمة يعني الحديث فيها عن الملائكة قال أما الآية الأولى فإن القرب مقيد فيها بما يدل على ذلك حيث قال ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد المتلقيان هما الملكان اللذان يكتبان أعمال
And the
العباد
verse
أحدهما يهودي
after
والآخر
this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
الله سبحانه وتعالى قال ونحن أقرب
Allah
إليه
subhanahu wa
من
ta'ala talks
حبل
about the two
الوريد
angels on
إذ
the left side and
يتلقى
the right side,
الملكيان
who
قال
write
دليل
every
على أن
single deed
المراد به
that a person
قرب
does.
الملكين المتلقيين يعني سياق الآية ونحن
And so
أقرب
the
إليه من
context of
حبل
the verse
الوريد إذ
indicates
يتلقى
that
المتلقيان
the,
عن
those
اليمين
angels
وعن
are
الشمال قعيد يعني حيث أن الإنسان
extremely
عن
close
يمينه
to
ملك يكتب
people.
الحسنات وعن شماله ملك يكتب السيئات فهذا تفسير في الآية في نفسها
So,
لقرب الله سبحانه
within the
وتعالى
context of
للعبد
this verse, this explanation
ولو
is
أما
not
الآية الثانية
really deviating from the face
ونحن
value.
أقرب إليه منكم فإن القرب فيها مقيد بحال
There's a
الاستضافة
different verse where Allah
الآية
subhanahu wa ta'ala
الثانية
says, and we
تتكلم
are
عن
closer to
المتوفى
him or
عند
to the person
اختلاطه
who is dying
وبيلده
than you
قبره
are.
والذي يحضر الميت
And you
عند
don't feel it.
موته هم الملائكة لقوله تعالى حتى إذا
And
جاء
the
أحدكم
explanation for
الموت
this
توفته رسلنا
verse
وهم لا يفرطون
is the
ثم
closeness of
إن
the
في قوله
angels to the
تعالى
dying person.
ولكن لا
Because in a
تفسدوا
different verse
مسيئات
in the Quran,
ونحن أقرب إليه منكم
Allah
ولكن
subhanahu wa
لا
ta'ala
تفسدون
explicitly says that it's the angels that take
قال قوله
someone's
ولكن
soul.
لا تبصرون
In both of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word we. And in this context, we here would mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that I am closer to him, so that the meaning would exclusively mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used we to include the angels in it. Although sometimes we is used only to include Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فالله سبحانه وتعالى لا يحيط به شيء هو بكل شيء محيط لا يعني لا يمكن أن تفهم الآية لأن الله تعالى موجود في هذه الحجرة أو الغرفة التي فيها المحتضر وأن الناس لا يرونه سبحانه وتعالى هذا هو القصد ولكن
We can't really explain the verses like this, saying by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is himself closer to the dead person, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have to be included in the place where that dying person is. For example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be included within a place.
وهل جاء نحو هذا التعبير مرادا به الملائكة؟ فالجواب أضاف الله تعالى قرب ملائكته إليه لأن قربهم بأمره وهم جنوده ورسله. يعني السؤال هنا.
And here's another question.
يعني هل هذا الاستعمال
when Allah سبحانه وتعالى uses the word
يضيف الله سبحانه وتعالى
or when Allah سبحانه وتعالى
يعني فعلا من الأفعال إلى نفسه سبحانه وتعالى
when Allah سبحانه وتعالى describes something or describes himself as doing something is it okay to think that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is including the angels? And the answer is yes, because the angels do exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to do. So they are included in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's
actions. الله تعالى يخاطب نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه.
There's another example where arguments rise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when we read it, or the Quran, when we read it upon you, then follow the recitation. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word we when talking about himself. And that's a way of including the angel Gabriel, because it's the angel Gabriel that directly reads to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also in a different place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a story where Abraham was arguing with the angels about the people of Lut. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he described Ibrahim, he said, and he was arguing with us, yujadiluna, he was arguing with us regarding the people of Lut. So this means, this doesn't mean that Ibrahim alayhi salam was arguing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was arguing with the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the incident. And it's known in the language of the Arabs to say that so-and-so person built this house. It doesn't mean that that person built the house himself, but he asked and ordered to have it done, and he paid for it, etc.
فالملائكة هم جند الله سبحانه وتعالى ورسله والله سبحانه وتعالى إذا كلفهم بأمر وأمر.
And as we know, the angels are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soldiers and messengers, and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them to do, they will do. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have done so and so, it can easily mean that the angels are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why do we have to pay attention to the context? Because this is what people of Bid'ah are trying to say. They're trying to say that there's no evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the angels. But if we look at the context, it clearly indicates the angels.
قال المثال التاسع والعاشر قوله
The
تعالى
ninth and
عن
tenth
سفينة نوح
examples are
عليه
when Allah
السلام
subhanahu wa ta'ala
تجري
talks about
بأعينهم
the ship
وقوله
or the ark of
لموسى
Noah.
عليه السلام
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and the
والمقسم
ark
على
was
عينه.
تجري بأعيننا or literally
قال والجواب
translate literally
أن
meaning
المعنى في هاتين
الآيتين
على
the ark
ظاهر
was
الكلام
running
وحقيقته
in our eyes.
لكن ما ظاهر الكلام وحقيقته هنا؟ يعني هنا أيضا إيه المخالفون للسلف يقولون إن السلف
And the people
أول
who go
هاتين
against the
الآيتين.
Salaf,
قال تعالى عن
they
سفينة
say that
نوح
the
عليه
Salaf,
السلام تجري
when they
بأعينهم
translated this verse,
يعني لم يفهموها على ظاهرها زعموا
they didn't
أن
take it
ظاهرها
for face
السفينة
value,
يعني تجري في عين الله سبحانه
and
وتعالى
they should have said
المعنى
that
لم
the ship
يفهموها لكن
was
أولوها
running inside
أول
the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
يعني هذه الآية يعني وقالوا إيه تجري
But the Salaf didn't say that. They said that the ship was running in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about Moses that he was raised upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eye, like we said in the last session. No, the author here says that it's not ta'wil to say that it's the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's really the face value of the verse when someone listens to it. No one would really understand it like the ship was actually running inside the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that Moses was being raised over the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally. Nobody would understand it. And certainly the Arabs at that time would not understand it that way. But they would clearly understand it as the ship was running in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, surrounded by His mercy. The same for Moses.
القول الأول ادعاء أن ظاهر الآية يعني أن السفينة تجري في عين الله أو أن موسى ربي فوق عين الله قال
so
هذا
really
الكلام يعني باطل الأول لأنه لا يقتضي الكلام بمقتضى الخطاب العربي والقرآن إنما
Of course, it's false to think otherwise. It's false to think that that the face value or the literal meaning is true. First, because it's not.
أن المعنى أنه يسير داخل عينه ولا من قول القائل
first it's not a meaning that is acceptable to the in the language of Arabs
ولو ادعى مدعي
at that time.
ان هذا ظاهر اللفظ في هذا الخطاب لضحك منه السفهاء فضلا عن العقلاء
And everyone would laugh if someone would think that that the true understanding of the verse is that the ship was running inside the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
كانوا لا يقصدون هذا المعنى ولا يفهمونه فادعاء أن هذا هو ظاهر اللفظ هذا ليس بصحيح الثاني أن هذا ممتنع غاية الامتناع ولا يمكن لمن عرف الله وقدره حق قدره أن يفهمه في حق الله تعالى
and whoever really knows
لأن الله تعالى مستوى على
and gives him his proper respect cannot really dare to think that something is running inside the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely separate from his creatures nothing of his creatures none of his creatures are within him and he is not within any of his creatures
تعين أن يكون ظاهر الكلام هو القول الثاني أن السفينة تجري وعين الله ترعاها وتكلأها وكذلك تربية موسى تكون على عين الله تعالى يرعاها ويكلأه بها فإذا نقول إن هذا المعنى الصحيح هو ظاهر اللفظ هو المعنى الذي يتبادر إلى الذهن يعني لا يتبادر إلى
the obvious face value of the meaning is
وإنما يتبادر إلى ذهنه المعنى الحق الذي
is that the ship was being surrounded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's care and mercy And that Moses والسلام, was being raised in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بعض السلف يعني فسروا هذه
And some of the pious predecessors
ولتصنع على عين قالوا ولتصنع بمرأ مني
explain the verses
الله تعالى يراه
the
فإن
verse
الله
about
تعالى
Moses
إذا كان يكلأه بعين
you will be raised
ذلك
within my sight
ولازم المعنى الصحيح جزء منه كما هو معلوم من دلالة اللفظ حيث تكون بالمطابقة والتضمن والالتزام وهذا شرحناه من قبل فيقول يعني إن العين يعني صفة العين لله سبحانه وتعالى من لوازمها أن الله تعالى يرى بها عباده. فموسى عليه السلام يعني يراه الله سبحانه وتعالى ويتربى
بمرأة
الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of his creatures.
هذه الآيات الكريمة لأن المقصود بأن المقصود بها يعني الرعاية والحفظ وكذا.
So at the same time that the pious predecessors say that this verse means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's care and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, they also use the verse to as one of the examples to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have an eye or does have eyes.
يعني تتضمنه صفة العين أو مما يلزم من صفة العين وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى يرى عباده. القصد أن التفسير بهذا المعنى المتضمن لا ينفي إثبات صفة العين حقيقة لله سبحانه وتعالى.
And so it's when we say that it's Allah who has care and mercy, it does not negate the fact that Allah has an eye.
وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي حتى أحبه.
There is a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's a hadith Qudsi, it's a Qudsi hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person would keep seeking nearness to me by doing extra worship until I become his vision with which he sees, and I become his hearing with which he hears, and I become his hand with which he does his affairs, and his foot by which he walks.
No,
the people of Bid'ah, they say that the people of Sunnah did not that the people of Sunnah did not take the verse, the hadith for face value. And here we ask ourselves, is the proper understanding for this to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally becomes the vision of someone, or the hearing of someone, or the hand or the foot of someone? Is that the way that the Arabs would have understood it at that time?
بل ولا يقتضيه الكلام لمن تدبر الحديث.
It's obvious that understanding it in its literal wording is not the way anyone would have understood it at that time.
إن الله تعالى هو يد الولي ورجل الولي وعين الولي حقيقة وكذا فيزعمون أن هذا هو ظاهر. فيزعمون أن هذا هو ظاهر الحديث وأن السلف أولوه وكذا. فالمؤلف هنا يقول هذا ليس هو ظاهر الحديث. ليس ظاهر الحديث أن الله تعالى يدا للإنسان أو رجلا للإنسان.
تعالى الله تعالى have gone wrong in assuming that the face value of the hadith is what they thought. The face value of the hadith is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally becomes someone's eye or someone's ear. The face value is the way anyone would have understood it at that time, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide someone's vision and guide someone's hearing and hands and feet to whatever he pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever brings that person more bounty and less sins.
وقال ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. قال فأثبت عبدا ومعبودا ومتقربا.
And in the context of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and my servant will keep seeking nearness to me with worship. And at the end of the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if he asks me for anything, I will give it to him. And if he asks me refuge from anything, I will give him refuge from it. And so it's clear in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as the Lord and the person as the servant. So it's not possible For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that and then to mix himself with the servant by saying that he becomes his eyes or he becomes the person's ears, etc.
فإذا لا يمكن أن يفهم هذا المعنى الفاسد من سياق الحديث. الوجه الثاني أن سمع الولي وبصره ويده ورجله كلها أوصاف أو أجزاء في مخلوق حادث بعد أن لم يكن، ولا يمكن لأي عاقل أن يفهم أن الخالق الأول الذي ليس قبله شيء يكون سمعا وبصرا ويدا ورجلا لمخلوق.
Okay. The eyes and the ears and the hands and the feet of anybody are creatures. They are created after they have been nothing before. But, however, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has always been there, and He has never been created. Subhanahu wa Taala. And so, for something that is eternal like this to turn into something else that is a creature is not plausible and not possible.
لا يمكن أن يفهم من الحديث تعين أن يكون المقصود به المعنى الثاني وهو المعنى الحق وهو أن الله تعالى يسدد هذا الولي في سمعه وبصره وعينه.
And so the proper understanding of the hadith has to be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide someone's hearing and vision, etc.
And
help that person in committing more good deeds and less bad ones.
وبالله تعالى يعني وبمعونة الله ومدده وفي الله تعالى يعني موافقا لشرع الله ومتبعا لدين الله فيتم له بذلك كمال الإخلاص
and that's how the sincerity in worship
وهذا ما
تذكره
به السلف وهو تفسير مطابق لظاهر الله.
And this explanation is not contradictory to the face value of the speech. It contains no ta'wil and does not contain any deviation.
المثال الثاني عشر قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says
فيما يرويه عن الله سبحانه وتعالى
أن
من تقرب مني شبرا
whoever comes closer to me by one finger breadth I will come closer to him by a foot and whoever comes closer to me by a foot I will come closer to him by a yard, and whoever comes to me walking, I'll come to him running. And this hadith is sahih, it was narrated by Bukhari and Muslim through Abu Hurairah radiallahu
anhu.
Now this hadith is in both sahihain.
بالله سبحانه وتعالى وأنه سبحانه فعال لما يريد. قل هذا الحديث دليل على قيام الأفعال الاختيارية بالله تعالى أن الله تعالى يفعل ما يريد أن الله تعالى يجيء ويأتي سبحانه وتعالى على ما يليق بسمائه مجيئا وإتيانا يليق به لا يشرك
is proof where Allah سبحانه وتعالى does come and does
ثبت ذلك في الكتاب والسنة مثل قوله تعالى
does come closer to someone etc.
فإني قريب أجيب دعوة
in a way that is appropriate for Allah سبحانه وتعالى
وقوله وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا
and it's also in unison with Allah سبحانه وتعالى saying that on the day of judgment he will come or he will arrive with the angels
الرحمن على العرش استوى استوى تأتي معنا على وصعيد وارتفع
and also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says are they waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels to come forth to them in shrouds of clouds and that's on the day of judgment
أحد بصدقة من طيب ولا يقبل الله إلا الطيب إلا أخذها الرحمن بيمينه
إلا أخذها الرحمن بيمينه that if someone gives charity in goodwill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that in his right hand and so all those are examples where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he does whatever he wants whenever he pleases. So he comes and goes, and he takes and gives in a way that is appropriate for his perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not like the way the creatures comes and the creatures come and go and take and give. And so the people, the companions and the pious predecessors, take those examples, and they take them for face value, and they don't try to ask how. And Shaykh al-Islam says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer,
وتقربه من بعض عباده فهذا يثبته من يثبت قيام الأفعال الاختيارية بنفسه سبحانه وتعالى ومجيئه يوم القيامة
والنزول على العرش
وهذا يذهب أئمة السلف وأئمة
السلف
وأهل الحديث
والنقل عنهم بذلك متواتر
النقل عنهم بذلك متواتر انتهى كلامه. قال فأي مانع يمنع من القول بأنه يمنع من عبده
so what's
كيف يشاء مع علوه. هنا يقول
the author says so what's the problem in thinking and believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes closer to his servant without negating his highness subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the problem in believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes forth without asking why, or in a way that is only appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And
some people say that in this very hadith Qudsi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I come running, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes very quickly to help the person that is trying to get closer to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards come in a lot faster and a lot bigger than what servant is doing. And that explanation has been used by some of the people of Sunnah as well.
توجه إلى الله وأن مجازات الله للعبد أكمل من عمل العبد فيقال وعلل ما ذهب إليه يعني هؤلاء القائلون من أهل السنة
and those people who use that explanation
علل ما ذهب إليه بأن الله تعالى قال ومن أتاني يمشي قال وهذا ليس تأويلا
have said that the reason why they chose that explanation is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says or because the hadith says he who comes to me walking and so how can someone come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking? You can't really get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally. So the meaning for that has to be coming closer and worship. It can be by walking, like walking to the mosques and walking in pilgrimage, etc. Or even in prostrating and kneeling and doing all kinds of worship. That's all walking in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
بل قد يكون التقرب إلى الله تعالى وطلب الوصول
مستطيع
على جنبه
and being near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be done even if you're laying on your side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that some people seek the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they're standing and sitting and laying on their sides.
فعلى جنبه فهؤلاء يعني أئمة السنة قالوا يعني إذا نظرت إلى
الحديث وقلت أن
الله تعالى يجازي العبد بفعله فالعبد إذا أتى الله يمشي
الحديث says قال من if someone comes to me walking
يمشي أتيته هرولا
I will come to him running.
طيب فيقول لك الآن ومن تقرب إلي زراع شبرا تقرب الله تعالى من زراع فيقول لك طيب العبد يتقرب إلى الله تعالى شبرا هل المقصود تقرب حسي من العبد
and so would that mean that someone would come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally like come closer up
تقرب الله تعالى من
up to
العبد
the sky
ذراعا
by
على انه
a
يعني
foot
قرب
or a yard or walking etc.
يعني بمجيء واتيان.
And the answer is no.
فقالوا تقرب العبد شبرا من الله تعالى معناه يعني ان العبد يعبد الله تعالى ويتقرب اليه.
But what it really means is for worship.
يعني
معظم several kinds of worship.
هي مشي حسي يعني
yeah, actually most types of worship
بعض العبادات
are, do not include any kind of walking. Walking as a form of worship is in only a few of all the forms of worship.
معظم انواع العبادات يعني فيها تقرب الى الله تعالى ولكنها ليس فيها مشي حسي. قال فكما ان السجود هو يعني يكون العبد فيه اقرب ما يكون
so,
من ربه.
Just like prostrating is,
يعني
is an occasion where the person is the closest possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
من هذا ان العبد اذا
so,
تقرب الى الله تعالى شبرت هذا القرب يكون
when someone is coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by say a foot, it means that he is getting closer by all forms of worship.
قال فإذا كان كذلك صار المراد بالحديث بيان مجازات الله تعالى
العبد. In the same way that we understand that about the servant, that's the way we can understand it about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he says that he comes to the servant running. It won't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come running literally. It would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give back a lot more than what the servant is giving.
هذا هو ظاهر له بدليل القرينة الشرعية المفهومة من كيفية تقرب العبد وجعلنا تقرب الرب من العبد يعني فسرناه بناء على فهمنا لتقرب العبد من الرب. وإن كان هذا ظاهر اللفظ بالقرينة الشرعية لم يكن تفسيره به خروجا عن ظاهره ولا تأويلا كتأويل أهل التعطيل فلا يكون حجة لهم على أهل السنة ولله الحمد. إذن هنا إيه؟
So even if this faction of people of this Ahl al-Sunnah used this way of understanding the hadith, it's not really a ta'weel because the face value of the hadith is itself a metaphor. So basically, however we look at it, even I mean, if you look at it as a metaphor and understand it that way, which would be valid, or if we take it for its face value and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does come forth or does come closer to a person in a way that is appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without asking how, then both ways are completely valid, and both ways are not ta'wil.
قال وما ذهب إليه هذا القائل له حظ من النظر لكن القول الأول أظهر وأسلم وأليق بمذهب السلف. المؤلف هنا يرجح القول الأول.
And here the author
قال
is favoring the first explanation, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does come forth and does come closer to someone in a way that is appropriate for His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala.
كالمشي إلى المساجد للصلاة أو من ماهيتها كالطواف والسعي والله تعالى. يقول يعني الذين أخذوا بالقول الأول
the author here is also saying that taking that explanation, the first explanation, would mean that he who comes walking would only include those types of worship that employ walking, like walking to the mosques and walking in a pilgrimage, etc., or walking for the sake of knowledge or anything like that. Anyway, both explanations have high validity, and both of them don't employ ta'wil.
يكون المعنى الصحيح هو المعنى الذي يتبادر إلى الذهن من الحديث
because both employ a meaning that would easily come to mind, and it's not really using distant meanings to try to explain those hadiths.
صحيح يقتضي هذا وليس تأويلات معطلة بغير دليل وبغير برهان. طيب المثال الثالث عشر قوله تعالى أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما الإشكال أنهم يقولون
Out of what we have made with our hands, we created antelopes.
ولم يخلقها الله تعالى بيده يعني بمباشرة منه سبحانه وتعالى كما خلق آدم يقول إن آدم خلقه الله تعالى بيده حقيقة وأما الأنعام فهنا قال تعالى أولم يروا أنا خلقنا لهم مما عملت أيدينا أنعاما مع أن السلف يعني فسروا هذه الآيات وقالوا
My predecessors have said that the antelopes have not been created with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands like he created Adam, but he created them by his will when he said be and they were. And so the people of Ta'wil are saying that the people of Salaf, because they did not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them with his hands, then they have done Ta'wil.
The
answer to that
is to look at the face value of the verse.
Is the face value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created those animals with his hands just like he created Adam?
لكن إضافة العمل إلى اليد والمراد صاحبها معروف في اللغة العربية التي نزل بها القرآن. يقول الآن.
Or when we use the word hand.
أن الله خلق الأنعام بيده أو ظاهر الآية أن الله تعالى يعني خلق الأنعام كما خلق غيرها من المخلوقات. وإنما ذكر اليدها هنا كما هو معروف في لغة العرب.
As the Arabs know.
يقولون يعني هذا ما كسبته يد فلان أو هذا ما جنته يد فلان أو فعل
When they say that you have done this with your hands,
يعني إضافة العمل إليه
or this is what you've done with your hands, it doesn't mean that you've literally doesn't necessarily mean that you've literally done it with your hands, but it could be this is what you've committed. Although it could have been done with any other organ or without your personal intervention at all. And so in the language of Arabs you can use the word hand to mean that you've done something although it may not have been directly with your hands. And this is why it's not the face value to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created those animals with his hands literally. The first reason is the language of Arabs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says, whatever calamity hits you, it's from what your hands have committed. Now here, it does not mean that only the sins that are committed by hand are the ones that are punishable. So if people commit sins with other than their hands, would that not be punishable then? And so it's obvious here that so it's obvious here that using the word hands is to say that this is what you've done. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea from what the hands of people have committed. And this also means that it's not just the hands, but it's what those people have committed, regardless of the organs. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the kuffar when they are punished on the day of judgment, that this is what your hands have committed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit injustice.
بخلاف ما إذا قال عملته بيدي كما في قوله تعالى فويل للذين يكتبون الكتاب بأيديهم ثم يقولون هذا من عند الله. هنا المؤلف يقول هناك فرق في الأسلوب العربي
and there's a difference between in Arabic language between
القائل.
If someone says I've done something بيدي or with my hand, using the word B or the letter B, which is a proposition. And the face value of that would be literally the hand. But if you don't use the B or with, or if we say this is what my hand has committed, this is what so and so's hand has done. Ghazali, someone is at the door. She wants to talk to you.
قال الثاني أنه لو كان المراد أن الله تعالى خلق هذه الأنعام بيده لكان لفظ الآية خلقنا لهم بأيدينا أنعاما، لكن الله تعالى لم يقل هذا. الله تعالى لم يقل خلقنا لهم بأيدينا أنعاما.
But Allah سبحانه وتعالى did not say
مما عملت أيدينا.
Did not say that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has created with his hands those antelopes. He said
خلقنا بأيدينا.
This is what our hands have created. So he did not use the word be. So in the language of Arabs, this does not mean literally the hands. But when it talks about, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Adam, and the way he was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to Satan, he said, what is keeping you from prostrating to what I have created with my hand? And in the language of Arabs, this means that literally with his hand is what he's done.
المباشرة بيد. قال وإذا ظهر بطلان القول الأول تعين أن يكون الصواب هو القول الثاني، وهو أن ظاهر اللفظ أن الله تعالى خلق الأنعام كما خلق غيرها ولم يخلقها بيده.
And so basically the pious predecessors, when they used that explanation about the antelopes, they relied on the language of the Arabs. That's where they got the explanation from. They were not trying to deviate from the meaning, from the face value of the meaning, because they
قال لكن إضافة العمل إلى اليد كإضافته إلى النفس بمقتضى اللغة العربية بخلاف ما إذا أضيفت إلى النفس وعدي بالباء إلى اليد.
Here the author is saying that using the word hand without the B before it or with generally means that it does not literally mean hand, the hand that it's the hand that did something. And it would mean that only if it was preceded by the B.
أو الظاهر أن الله تعالى باشر خلق آدم بيده، لكن في الأنعام ليس الأمر كذلك. طيب المثال الرابع عشر قوله تعالى
The 14th example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are taking an oath with you are taking an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His hand is above their hands. Now, the people of the pious predecessors, when they explained this, they said they did not take it for the literal face value of it.
قوله تعالى إن الذين
يبايعون
إنما يبايعون الله.
This verse has contained two sentences. The first sentence is, those who have taken an oath with you have taken an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
صلى الله عليه وسلم نفسه كما في قوله تعالى لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجر. يعني الآية فيها إيه؟ يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله. فيبايعونك كيف يبايعون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ كانوا يصافحون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Now the way that they would take the oath with the Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they would shake hands with him, and they would say the oath.
قال ولا يمكن لأحد أن يفهم من قوله تعالى.
And no one can understand, no one would understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are making an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one would understand that they are literally shaking the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're making that oath. Because that was with Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making that treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like having a treaty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the oath, just like doing the oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger.
قال لأنه رسوله وقد بايع الصحابة على الجهاد في سبيل الله تعالى ومبايعة الرسول على الجهاد في سبيل من أرسله مبايعة لمن أرسله لأنه رسوله المبلغ عنه. فإذا مبايعة
محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, then taking an oath with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is like taking an oath with Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
لمن أرسله بقوله تعالى.
And it's just like obeying Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is like obeying Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
طاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم هي طاعة لله. الحمد لله. فكذلك مبايعته هي مبايعة لله تعالى. قال وفي إضافة مبايعتهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى الله تعالى من تشريف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وتأييده.
And it's also a great honor for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when Allah سبحانه وتعالى says that when they take an oath with him is like taking an oath with Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
طيب الجملة الثانية.
Now the second sentence here
قوله تعالى
is where Allah سبحانه وتعالى says that his hand is over their hands.
هل السلف
or above their hands.
أول هذه يعني هذه الجملة من الآية أو صرفوها عن ظاهرها.
Now, did the pious predecessors really deviate from the face value of the meaning? They understood it exactly the way it is for the face value, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is definitely above the hands of the people who are taking the oath, because He Himself is above all his creatures. So it's not really false to take it for face value. And it does not have to say, it's not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is touching their hands completely, like directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says it's above their hands. It's just like saying the sky is above us. Although the sky is far from us, it doesn't mean that the sky is touching us. So the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the hands of those who are taking the oath of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
ولا يمكن لأحد أن يفهم أن المراد بقوله يد الله فوق أيديهم يد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And no one can understand that.
أي يدعي أن
the hand of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
إن الله تعالى أضاف اليد إلى نفسه.
His hand is directly above their hands or touching them.
ووصفها بأنها فوق أيديهم. يعني يقول أهل التأويل قالوا يد الله فوق أيديهم قالوا يد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوق أيديهم. قالوا يد الله يعني يد رسول الله. ف
the people of Ta'wil, the way they understand it is that they say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his hand, it means really his messenger's hand. But this is not the face value of the verse. The face value is that it's really the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not doesn't have to be touching their hands. It's definitely above them anyway, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is above all his creatures.
وَيَدُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عِنْدَ مُبَايَعَةِ أَصْحَابِهِ لَمْ تَكُنْ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِ. يعني حتى تفسيرهم هذا يعني مخالف للغة.
And it's also against language, because even if they say that it's the hand of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hand was really not above their hands, because when he would take the oath with them, he would shake hands with them. The shaking hands does not imply that one hand would be above the other. And so his hand is with their hands or next to their hands, but it's not above their hands. But the one who has his hand over everyone's hands is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there's no ta'wil here. The 15th example, or the last example here.
قوله تعالى في الحديث القدسي يا ابن آدم
مريضت فلم تعدني. O son of Adam, I have gone sick and you have not visited me.
رواه مسلم.
This hadith is a hadith قدسي. Imam Muslim has narrated it.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه
قال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه.
إن الله تعالى يقول يوم القيامة.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O son of Adam, I have been sick and you have not visited me. The servant would say, O Allah, how would you go sick when you are the Lord of the universe? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, my servant, whose name is so-and-so, has gone sick and you have not visited him. If you had visited him, you would have found me there. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, O son of Adam, I've asked you for food and you have not given me. He would also say, O son of Adam, I have asked you for water and you did not give me water. And in both examples Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, someone was hungry or thirsty and you did not give him. Don't you know that if you gave him food or water, you would have found that in my possession?
قال والجواب أن السلف أخذوا بهذا الحديث ولم يصرفوا عن ظاهره بتحريف يتخبطون فيه بأهوائهم وإنما فسروه بما فسره به المتكلم به.
And they completely actually took it for face value, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself explains it in the very same hadith. The servant is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how would you go sick when you're the Lord of the universe? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it. And so the pious predecessors didn't even leave the boundaries of the same of the hadith itself.
فقوله تعالى مرضت واستطعمتك واستسقيتك بينه الله تعالى
بنفسه
حيث قال أما علمت أن عبدك من المريض
or explains that so and so person went sick and you did not visit him.
في أن المراد به مرض عبد من عباد الله واستطعام عبد من عباد الله.
So it clearly says that visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means visiting someone who's sick, or feeding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not literally feeding him, but it's feeding someone who's hungry.
المرض المضاف إلى الله والاستطعام المضاف إليه والاستسقاء المضاف إليه بمرض العبد واستطعامه واستسقائه لم يكن في ذلك صرف.
And so if you understand it as really the sickness of a slave or a servant or the hunger of a servant or a thirst of a servant, you're not really deviating from the meaning of the hadith, because that's literally what the hadith says.
مرضت معناها مرض عبد من عباد الله تعالى. فهذا ليس تأويلا ولا صرفا للكلام عن ظاهره، لأن هذا هو ظاهره كما فسر في نفس الحديث. قال كقوله تعالى: من ذا الذي يقرض
الله
قرضا حسنا.
Who would loan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a good loan so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would multiply it for him? That's an invitation for his servants to spend in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-adequate, and he has actually cursed those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is poor. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting people to quote unquote loan him or lend him. So the meaning of that could not literally mean that people are asked to lend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala money, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
عباد الله المحتاجين يتصدق عليهم وكذا.
But it means to give the
people. هذا ليس من باب التأويل. قال: وهذا الحديث من أكثر الحجج
الدالة. The needy and the hungry and the poor.
الذين يحرفون
to give them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to multiply.
بلا دليل من كتاب الله تعالى ولا من سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And to understand it in a deviant way is not coincident with any other hadith or any other verse in the Quran. Actually, it was contradictory to many hadiths and to many verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he's self-sufficient and he's wealthy and he doesn't need
anything. لبينه الله ورسوله كما في هذا الحديث. يقول يعني بالعكس هذا الحديث يعني ليس حجة لأهل التأويل بل هو رد على.
The author says that this hadith is not the hadith we were talking about regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was sick, etc. Is not really an argument for the people of Ta'wil. It's actually an argument against the people of Ta'wil. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says here that he did not mean that the face value of the meaning is not the literal translation of the words. But still the face value.
التي وصف بها نفسه ولم يأتي في الكتاب والسنة يعني ما يبين أن هذه الصفات غير مرادة أو غير مقصودة أو كذا، معناه أن هذه الصفات نثبتها لله سبحانه وتعالى. لو كانت هذه الصفات التي وصف الله بها نفسه لا تليق بالله تعالى لكان لابد أن يبين كما في هذا الحديث لما قال مرضت بين سبحانه وتعالى المراد بها، لكن معناه أن النصوص الأخرى مثل يحبهم ويحبونه و يرحمهم الله مثلا النصوص التي فيها ان الله تعالى يرحم ويحب
وكانت
هذه المعاني لا تليق بالله تعالى لابد
من حديث the attributes that are not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala such as sickness and hunger and thirst have been explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went ahead to explain it and to say that it doesn't really literally mean that way. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand it not in its literal meaning, he would explain it later. He would say that it's not really literally what it says. And so that's another reason to believe that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not explain something, there's no reason to go ahead and think it means something else. It does not explain something for a different meaning, I'm saying. Then there's no reason to go ahead and think of it as something else.
وهي يعني لا تحصى في كتاب الله تعالى تصبح كلها توهم نقصا في حق الله تعالى وتحتاج إلى تفسير، وهذا يكون من أكبر المحال أن يصبح يعني معظم القرآن الكريم يوهم نقصا في حق الله ويحتاج إلى تدخل من العباد حتى
يفسروا على وجه الله.
قال: ولنكتفي بهذه الأمثلة لتكون مدراسا لغيرها.
Okay, the author says that those 15 examples will suffice, and we hope that you can use them as examples for any other arguments they might may come up with. And so generally, the people of Sunnah
وأحاديثها على ظاهرها
Their
من
method
غير
is clear,
تحريف
which
ولا
is
تعطيل
to
ولا
take the
تكييف
verses
تكييف
and the hadiths for face value without ta'til, without takyif, without asking how, and without likening it to any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creatures. And next, there is an ending for the author. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him regarding regarding the Ash'ara and their argument, and we will go over it concisely. The author is mentioning a few questions regarding the Ash'ara, and he's answering them. First question.
ومن المعلوم أن الأشاعرة من أهل التأويل.
We know that الأشاعرة
كيف
are people of
التأويل. باطلاً
How is their
إنهم يمثلون اليوم 95% من المسلمين.
When it is said that they are 95% of Muslims.
والأشاعرة يؤولون صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى. كيف يكون مذهبهم باطلاً وهم يمثلون 95% من المسلمين؟ هذا السؤال الأول. السؤال الثاني كيف يكون باطلاً؟ وقدوته في ذلك أبو الحسن الأشعري رحمه الله
when they're following أبو الحسن الأشعري
السؤال الثالث كيف يكون باطلا وفيهم فلان وفلان من العلماء المعروفين بالنصيحة لله ولكتابه
when they have a lot of scholars a lot of prominent scholars who are known for being pious people
ومنهم الإمام الفلاني والإمام الفلاني من علماء المسلمين الذين شهد لهم المسلمون بالخير والصلاح يعني وأنهم من أئمة المسلمين طيب الجواب عن السؤال الأول
for the first question
يعني ادعاء
which is that the Ash'ara make up 95% of Muslims. We don't really take that the way it is because there are no accurate statistics
either. وفي الحقيقة يعني هؤلاء الذين يزعمون هذا الزعم
and if those who say that the people the أشاعرة
يحسبون على الأشاعرة
Muslims are 95% of Muslims they include the lay people the general public
مثلا في البلد الفلانية إذا كان بلد مثلا تتبنى
أشاعرة
مثلا الدولة في التعليم مثلا في المؤسسات الرسمية والمذهب الأشعري فإذا إيه يشوفون الدولة هذه مثلا فيها 70 مليون مسلم فإذا إيه يحسبون 70 مليون أنهم دول من جملة الأشاعرة وهذه الطريقة ليست صحيحة لأن عامة
the vast majority of the lay public
لم تتدنس يعني بهذه الشبهات
and that's false because the majority of Muslims have not been infected with the false methods of the Ash'ara. Most of them did not really study on the hands of the Ash'ara. Most of them believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally sees everything and literally hears everything. The majority of Muslims, when they read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes, when they read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face and a hand and he loves and he hates and he comes down to the first heaven, etc., they don't understand except the face value of it. And so they really should not be counted as a shahira.
لن تجد فيه من يقول يأتي بمعنى يأتي أمره أو تأتي ملائكة أو سألتهم يحبهم ويحبونه قلنا خلاص هذا من صفة الله تعالى أنه يحب محبة تليق به لن يقول يحبهم يعني يريد أن ينعم عليهم كما يقول الأشاعرة فهذا المعنى لا يخطر في أذهان العوام فإذا عامة المسلمين نخرجهم عن هذا
So the majority of Muslims should be outside of that statistic. And generally speaking, the majority of Muslims are following the people, the pious predecessors.
ثم يقول لو سلمنا أنهم بهذا القدر أو أكثر فإنه لا يقتضي عصمته من الخطأ
that they are 95%
الأكثرية يعني حتى لو سلمنا جدلا
even if we say that 95% of people are Asha'ira, it does not mean that they're right. It doesn't mean that if someone, if there's a lot of people following something, that it has to be right. Because righteousness here is in unanimity only. If there's 100% of people following a certain thing, then it can be right. The second question is, how can they be wrong if they're following Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari when he is in the fourth? He's in the fourth century of Hijrah. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's hadith says that the best of all the generations are the first three centuries. He is clearly in the fourth century. So he's not included. The third question is, how can they be wrong when Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari is a great imam among the Muslims? The author says that Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari has, as we discussed before, has gone through three phases in his faith. The first phase where he was a Mu'tazili for 40 years. And then he stopped. And the second was, the second phase was where he was between I'tizal and Sunnah. And that's when he created the Madhab al-Ash'ari. And he was trying to come up with middle ground between Mu'tazila and people of Sunnah.
من كلاب من كلا وفرقة ومن كلابية كانوا يقولون بتأويل الصفات وكذا وأبو الحسن الأشعري في هذه المرحلة يعني سلك طريقته وأحدث مثلا قال شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله والأشعري
ورزق
بين السلف والجهمية أخذوا من هؤلاء كلاما صحيحا ومن هؤلاء أصولا
He says that the people, the Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari and his followers are between the people of Sunnah and the people of Jahmiyyah. They tried to come to a middle ground. And Mu'tazila are Jahmiyyah when it comes to the Asma al-Sifat. The third phase of his life is the phase where he completely accepted and embraced the people of Sunnah or Jama'ah and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But unfortunately, his followers did not repent and did not come back to the Sunnah. And that's why the followers of the Madhab al-Ash'ari became so common. The third question is, how can they be wrong when they have so many good scholars that are described as pious?
وإنما يوزن الرجال بالحق. أن إذا أردت أن تعرف الحق، فلا
تفهم. The answer to that is that truth is not measured by the men. It's the men that are measured by the truth.
هذا هو الميزان الصحيح. الجواب الثاني أننا إذا قابلنا الرجال على طريق الأشاعرة بالرجال الذين هم على طريق السلف،
وجدنا الرجال الذين هم على طريق السلف. The good scholars in Ash'ari to the good scholars in Ahl Sunnah, we will find that the good scholars in Ahl Sunnah are much better than the good scholars in Ash'ari.
And
so for a good pious person to be part of a deviant sect does not mean that that sect is correct. It means that that person has committed something wrong by being a part of that sect.
أصحاب المذاهب المتبوعة هؤلاء كانوا قبل أبي الحسن الأشعري وكانوا يتبعون طريقة السلف في الصفات ولم يكن أحد منهم أشعري ما كان أبو الحسن الأشعري ولد بعد حتى يتبعوا الأئمة الأربعة أبو حنيفة ومالك والشافعي وأحمد وقبلهم جميع الصحابة وجميع التابعين وجميع أتباع التابعين وهؤلاء يعني أجل وأعظم
And all the scholars and the companions the pious predecessors are not the followers of Abu Hasan al-Ash'ari, and they're at a much higher level of goodness than any of the
Ash'ari.
Another question is, do you say that the people of Ta'wil are kuffar or that they are fasiqeen? And the answer is that that judgment is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to say that someone is kafir for something like that is being too rude in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قولهم بدعة ولكن التمسوا لأشخاصهم المعاذير. التمسوا لأشخاصهم.
People of Sunnah generally say that what those people of the Ash'ari what they say is false.
يمنع يعني من أن يوصفوا.
And generally we seek excuses for them instead of incriminating them directly. And so as people, we generally like them and accept them as Muslims.
يعني لا يداهمون في يعني يتنازلون عن المعتقد الحق أو كذا ولا يتغاضون عن بيان الباطل وإنما يبينون المعتقد الصحيح ويحذرون من المعتقدات المخالفة وهم في نفس الوقت أهل جماعة يعني يفهمون المخالف
Obviously, are the people who guard the Sunnah and the truth and stay away from Bid'a and they warn against it, but they're also the people of Jama'ah who try to unite people and to seek excuses for them instead of incriminating and alienating them. And so they say that maybe they were ignorant, maybe they were following something and they didn't know anything better. And maybe they thought that a certain hadith is sahih, but it's not sahih. Maybe they didn't. Maybe a better hadith did not reach them. And so the people of Sunnah are always seeking unity. But they never, at the same time, they never say that something wrong is true. They say it's wrong, and whoever says it is wrong in saying it, but we try to seek excuses. And the author is also saying that if a certain thing is kufr to say it, or fisq, then whoever, it does not mean that whoever says it is a kafir or a fasiq. We leave that judgment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are conditions for someone to become a kafir. The first condition is for someone to know that what he's saying or she's saying is a deviation or an apostasy.
وقد يصدر من الشخص ما يوجب الكفر أو الفسق بغير إرادة منه منها أن يكره على ذلك أو يغلب
And as we know, some people may be obliged, or they may be oppressed into saying something that is kufr or fisq.
إلى آخر ما ذكره رحمه الله تعالى. فالخلاصة
And so in summary,
العلماء المنتسبين إلى المذهب
the people who
رغم أنهم أخطأوا في هذا الباب
say that they are from among the Ash'ara although they are wrong in what they claim regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. We don't usually judge them as apostates, and we don't really alienate them, but we appreciate their knowledge as scholars among the Muslims. And we try to seek excuses, and we still say that what they're saying regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes is false. Inshallah. For those who are registered students in this course, Aqidah Wahid, inshallah there will be a test on this coming Monday, a short exam regarding what we studied in this course regarding the Tawheed. From those two books that we've explained, Kitab al-Tawheed and the book of Asma al-Sifat. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will have a week of break, and inshallah we'll start on June 2nd with the summer course. So June 2nd. And inshallah it'll be for 7 weeks. Inshallah. And the course and the curriculum will be on the website iumn.net. Inshallah, whoever wants to look at the courses of the summer course can take a look at that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الرحيم اسم من أسماء الله تعالى أو صفة من صفاته هو اسم أو صفة.
The question is, الرحيم, the merciful, is it a name or an attribute? The answer is, it's a name and an attribute, because all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include attributes. So Rahim is a name, clearly, and it includes an attribute, which is mercy. بالنسبة للمثال خلق الأنعام. هل كان لدى علماء السلف سبب لكي يبتعدوا عن التفسير أن الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الأنعام بيديه؟
فقط يعني
regarding the example of creating antelopes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands.
لما لم يقل الله تعالى يعني خلقت بيدي أنعاما وإنما قال
my question is did the people, the pious predecessors have texts to say that they cannot accept the explanation that Allah literally created them with his hands? And the answer seems that the only proof they have is just the language of Arabs, and that's what they relied on. JazakAllah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.